their spiritual home. Often this happened because of the love that you showed the people when they walk in. That's the testimony that I hear. This is the friendliest group of people I've ever been. As soon as I walked in the door, I felt welcomed. I felt like a part of the church before I even sat down. That's you. That's the Holy Spirit within you wanting to see lives be changed. Many would give this report to me, and I agree with that assessment as the pastor of this church. You are a friendly bunch of people. You love the fellowship so much that we can't even get you to sit down when we want you to. And you are a loving, kind, and true reflection of the love Jesus has to all of us. More than that, what people are drawn to is the submission to the Word of God. We can be nice. That's actually easier than most people realize. It's easy to be nice. But to be faithful and true to the Word of God, that's a task that we have seen many fellowships, many denominations have walked away from this. And something that has truly attracted people to what we are doing here is our desire to uphold the Word of God as the truth, the only truth, the one thing that God gave us that is unaffected by culture, by economics, and especially from cultural ideas that say this is not exactly what the Word says. There's a way that we can work our sin into our lives and still function. At Grace Fellowship Church, we don't believe that. We believe that the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of this book to write every single word, and we hold true to the Word of God here. Every elder that has ever gotten up and spoken in this pulpit believes that the Word of God is true. We believe that the Holy Spirit desires to live and function within every believer. And often we hear the difference between a church that is not allowing the Holy Spirit to move, and then someone comes into Grace Fellowship Church, and here's what we hear. I can't quite put a finger on what it is, but something is different about Grace Fellowship Church. Well, I can put a finger on it, metaphorically speaking. It's the freedom of the Holy Spirit. It's a desire to worship Him. It's a desire to have Him teach us about who Jesus Christ is. So it's not only the kindness, but it's adhering to the truth of the Word of God and not being afraid to preach and teach what is in the Word of God. Every single elder here is an ordained minister. Every single one of them. They're ordained through Elam Bible Fellowship. They have been prayed over. They've been set in. They have the authority in Pennsylvania to marry and bury, but even more so, they stand up here with authority that is given to them by God. We have an amazing group of teachers in this house. Over the last number of years, the leadership began to have serious conversations about the growing need for additional space here at the church. The building was and is being used to its capacity. And it's being used on a daily basis to its capacity. If you don't believe me, just ask Jeff Lawson, who cleans up after you. So many things are going on that sometimes we forget to even tell him that something has taken place. It's incredible how often something is happening here at the church. As it was being used more, we began to think about these things and say, okay, what can we do? And we began to have serious conversations. We hired an architect. We've had drawings done. We've looked at things. We've prayed over things. And then right in the midst of all that conversation, 2020 happened. And 2020 is something that's just going to be historic. You know, your grandchildren are going to read about it in their textbooks of what has taken place in every single country, every whatever their culture was. It affected all of us. And so in 2020, the world was just, it was just turned upside down. And it caused a lot of different things to take place. But it, what was beautiful about being in Pennsylvania is that many states were putting across all kinds of things that were mandatory and couldn't do this and couldn't do that. The thing about being in Pennsylvania, whether you might not know this, but there were no requirements and mandates that were given to churches. So just park on that and think about that for a minute, because what happened to churches, it was actually largely a decision of the leadership of those churches. What we decided to do at Grace Fellowship is we decided that in the early parts of what was going on, none of us knew what was happening. Agreed? None of us knew. And so we didn't want people who were not able to go to work and not able to fellowship with their family, not even able to go see those who were in the hospital and those that were on their deathbed. Many people missed out on things. We didn't want people driving by and seeing 100 cars in our parking lot without any clarity of what was taking place. So we decided on our own to go to virtual meetings. And we found out very quickly that Grace Fellowship was not cut out for virtual church. And so we changed that quickly. We decided after, I think we did it maybe 5 or 6 weeks, and we said, okay, that enough is enough. We need to figure out how we can get together. The leadership agreed to work something out, and we went to multiple services so that we could spread people out. That didn't work. You all met up in the parking lot anyway between the services. But what we saw was there was this true desire to congregate. And guess what happened? Churches that were closed down in our community, we also saw some people come into Grace Fellowship that would not have normally come to be a part of what we are doing here. Some of you are here still to this day because of that decision. So you can think on those things however you'd like. I'm not somebody who says, well, the events of 2020 built the church. Well, actually, it didn't. A lot of churches are still suffering from things that went on. But we saw that the Lord was blessing the ministry here, and we were making decisions that we know that the Lord had given us the grace to make. Does that make sense? We're not, again, I'm not looking at other ministries and saying, what is your problem? But we moved forward in a direction that we really believed that God was opening up the doors for us to do. And so we began to see people from all over our community join in with our in-person services. Our leadership did not measure this as permanent growth, but we knew that some people simply wanted to worship and be with other believers. But many of you have stayed with us and enjoy participating at GFC. For the past 10 years, the leadership team of Grace Fellowship have discussed ways to improve or expand its facility. We began renovations in our sanctuary as a part of this process. Many of you don't know this because maybe you weren't here when it was for the first 35 years of the existence of this church, but the stage used to be there. This floor was amphitheatered. We would actually be sitting on an upslope right now facing this way. We used to hold dinners in here where it looked like we were in the Titanic. We completely gutted this room. We had jackhammers in here. We had a bulldozer. A bulldozer was in here. It came through some double doors that were back here. It barely fit. And they squeaked that thing in, and this whole floor was jackhammered up. We poured a new floor, did all kinds of renovations under the careful watching eye of Brent Smith, just guiding us through the renovation process. We renovated our lobby. We put in some brand new beautiful bathrooms. Everybody loves a good-looking bathroom, and so we have that here as well. All of those things were done by the grace of God providing those things. We were doing these even at a time when the church wasn't necessarily exploding in growth, but we were seeing that there were some things that needed to happen here at our facility, and we were able to accomplish all of those things and be debt free. Debt free. So you're in a fully renovated, paid for sanctuary, lobby, new restrooms for which the Lord planted the seed for the vision of that and provided the finances for. So now the leaders here at Grace Fellowship have been praying about and dreaming about what would be next for Grace Fellowship. We have shared with you from the pulpit and in special meetings our desire to minister to the younger generation. We believe that God has blessed Grace Fellowship with a disproportionate number of children. We always have had more kids than the adult numbers would. The statistics just don't flow that way. Mostly because a lot of you have a lot of kids. Which is not a bad thing. It's just true. It's like, you know, 9 kids, 8 kids, you know, it's awesome. But with that comes the responsibility of ministering to them responsibly, doesn't it? And so we have had a desire to minister to our children, and we have seen that right now the classes that we dismissed them to, they're at capacity. Some of them are sitting on the floor, and some of them are tightly gathered around tables, and the teachers are in there ministering to them, opening up the Word of God, and doing some incredible things. But through this project, we are hoping to step into something that would actually turn this room that you're in and that entire wing that goes down there at some point through our renovation process and our building process. You are sitting in what would be known as the youth and children's facility. We want to turn this over to Brent. We want to turn this over to our children's ministry. We want them to be able to have the room to do what God has given us the grace with the students to do. We want to see more classrooms available for them. Trail Life and AHG is growing. They've experienced some amazing things. When you come in here, they're making good use of this facility, but they are at capacity when it comes to our classrooms. And we want to make sure that they have room to do what they're doing. And there's a hope that through all of this, we will be able to better and more effectively minister to the children that God has blessed us with. We want to be able to see students come into this place and be touched by what God is doing in them and realize, too, that they're not an afterthought. You know, when a kid gets dismissed to Sunday school and they're walking into a closet, it's like, are they really ready to do this thing or what are we doing? And now none of your students are in closets right now. Not yet. But we really believe that God has opened up some doors. And a few weeks ago, when we began to really just know that 2024 was going to be that place, that season that God was moving us into to make some changes here, a word was deposited into the heart of Pastor Jeff. And I believe it was on a Wednesday night. He shared some things. And then in one of his messages, he shared a message while Alexa and I were out of town. And I asked him if he would kind of share a little bit about that there too as well. And he did. But I asked him if I could just take a pause right now in some of the things that we're talking about and invite him to come up and just share for a few moments about the word that the Lord laid on his heart concerning raising the roof.
One of the beautiful things about our church is we do have this liberty in the Spirit, and we believe the Holy Spirit is able to show us things, speak to us, bring us revelation according to our faith, and be able to speak that and express that. And that results in blessing for others and building up the church. And so on Wednesday night, I'm here. I'm delighted to be here to pray. And in that spiritual atmosphere, it's very easy to move into spiritual things. And I do have visions. And I hope that doesn't sound like I'm out of order or anything. But it's one of those things that the Lord wants to give you. If you'll just open your heart to it, He's able to speak to you and show you things. And what he showed me a building, and in this, they were literally, whoever they were building this building, and they were raising the roof, you know, a barn raising. Well, they were taking this roof, the roof line, and they were taking it up. It was going a lot higher than the conventional building than you would think that would be necessary. And then the Lord very carefully and very clearly spoke to me, said, I am raising the roof of my church. And when he tells you something like that, you begin to think. And so I knew that it had spiritual application, and that also in light of what we'd been talking about with a new physical facility, it had physical and real material significance and meaning. So in raising the roof spiritually, the Lord wants you and me to continue to grow. He wants us to continue to mature into things of the Spirit in our relationship with the Lord, in intimacy with Him, understanding the Holy Scriptures, as Pastor Phil was saying, that we would continue to advance, not remaining with our own understanding of where we have been. And this just so perfectly lines up with this knocking on the door of another new year, that we're going in with an expectation, a hope of things we haven't seen yet, things to come. And everything that we're hoping for at this very moment, if it doesn't happen today, it is in the future. And so it's things to come. But raising the roof, the Lord is wanting you and me to continue, not simply to grow. And that's important, because a child grows. It goes from a child into manhood. That's not enough. The Lord is wanting us to mature. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, when I matured, I put away childish things. And the hour in which we're living spiritually, it's demanding. It's something that God wants us to understand, that there must be a maturing in our spiritual lives so that the things coming on the earth are not going to overwhelm us. And so the Lord so loves us that He gives us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip us not only for ministry but for the future. And the whole thing about maturing in the faith. So it has this spiritual application in raising the roof. And with that, then of course, with us specifically, and there is I've long believed this, that there is a mandate from heaven upon Grace Fellowship Church. And there may be other churches, but I know this one. We have a mandate to minister to children and young people. And that is one reason we have so many, and we are delighted and thankful and thrilled to have so many. You have to understand that when I became pastor here 23 years ago, in October of 2000, Pastor Phil became or was my youth leader. And Pastor Phil did a tremendous job with Alexa to transform this church, and we went from a handful to, at one point, we had up to 80 or 90 kids coming on, like on a Friday night, various meetings. Things were going on. We've had this vision to see this grow, and some of you sitting out there this morning were a part of what happened that 23 years ago. And what we want to convey to you is that God just doesn't want us to grow up. You know, you can have kids that grow up, but they never mature. You can have a 13-year-old, 23-year-old in the way they think or act or silly or foolish. But God is not wanting us just to grow, and you do that through the ministry of the Word, but mature, and that comes from intimacy with Christ. He's raising the roof. He wants us to go deeper. He wants us to come closer. Then that lends us to this very thing physically, of building a new sanctuary, of building a new facility, turning in this into what can minister to more children, not less, more. We're wanting more in 24. Because we're wanting to touch every family, every child, this community in a way that brings them life and hope and health and happiness and all of these things. And that only comes through this real ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Word, and though you and me living it out. So in raising the roof, the Lord has every intention, because He loves you, to speak to you and teach you and minister to you So you keep maturing, raising the roof, bringing you up to higher levels of spiritual understanding and perception. And then physically, for us to see us grow physically, this campus, so that we can have more ministry and do what God wants us to do here. In raising the roof, the Lord wants to fulfill His will here. I just want to close by reading this passage, a few portions of it in Ephesians 4. Paul says this, and it's very significant. He says that he gave to his church these ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He says to equip the saints, that's you, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the very measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we're no longer children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness whereby they bring forth deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him, into Christ, who is the head, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with each part working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The one thing that will characterize us going into 2024 is pursuing our God and knowing His heart. And His heart for you is to bring you ever closer to Himself and ever more into the image of His beautiful Son, Jesus Christ, into the very measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Raising the roof. Open your heart to it. Be asking the Lord for it. And then give yourself to it as the Holy Spirit shows you. God bless you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. So how are we going to do this? You heard Pastor Jeff kind of allude to it here. We are going to step into building a brand new sanctuary here on our campus. Early on when we were talking about expanding our facility, it was limited to okay, what we need is we need more classrooms and we need more space. But during that time, when those conversations were going on, we were also recognizing that many times we've been limited by, from space in here on a Sunday morning. And we want, right now, we're looking at ways that we can do some things that we've added more chairs. If you see pictures of our sanctuary, they're a couple of years old. The aisles are narrower. We've added chairs to them because you can't push these walls out without having negative repercussions. And so we've done everything that we can do. And so in last month's board meeting, there was a vote and an approval to look at building a facility here that would be our new sanctuary so that ministry can continue to happen to the next generation in this existing campus. And there was a budget that was approved. There's a desire to break ground when the ground thaws. We want to be able to move forward with this idea. We don't want to just talk about it to the sense of we're going to hypothetically look at what we can do. We've been looking at the hypothetics for the last decade, and I believe that it's been right. I don't feel that we've been dragging our feet. There hasn't been a sense in any particular conversation that we've had up until the last 5 or 6 weeks. We haven't walked away from a conversation going, I know that the Lord has opened this up and released it. And in our last board meeting, we talked for just a few moments, and then it went to a vote. The leadership said, it is time. We believe that God has opened the door to do this thing. So I want you to know that what our desire is to build this sanctuary, and we're hoping that it'll house anywhere from 450 to 500. We're going to stop there. Our goal is not necessarily to build the greatest, newest, highest tech. We're not doing something so that we can be the shiniest sparkle in the community or anything like that. We want to build something simply because the Lord has laid this on our hearts, and we know that there is a desire for ministry to take place. We've approved a square footage size. We've approved a budget for it, but we don't know everything that's going to fit inside of that yet. Brent and I had a brief conversation before he went on vacation with his family last week. We're getting together with an architect coming up next week. We're going to be sitting down and talking about some of the specifics. We have some drawings that are 10 years old, and we have some drawings that are about 20 weeks old. We've been getting ideas and things flowing for a number of years now, and that's what actually is making this process kind of grow within us. So the goal is to be able to expand our ministry so that things like our mom's group, they meet in here, or they've met the last number of times, they shift for a number of years, they met right here, and now they meet in the lobby. They're meeting in the lobby while the worship team is in here. Those of you who are a part of the mom's group, thank you for being a part of that. Ashley pours her heart and her life into that thing, and you're out there in the lobby, and a few times I have walked in, and it just dropped. You could hear a pin drop. So that means they're talking about something Pastor Phil, can you walk a little faster and get out of here before we forget what we were talking about? But our Trail Life and AHG program, they've filled this place. The various programs that we have are at a capacity where we are seeing the need to do this. So let me tell you where we are at right now financially. Just buckle up for safety. So we've been thinking about this and talking about this for quite some time. And what we saw is that the Lord, through your generosity and listening to what the Lord has laid on your heart and given you the grace to give, we saw about a year and a half ago that we were going to be able to set some money aside every single week, not month, every single week. And our wonderful bookkeeper, who is moving on to a new phase in her life, Nikki, as a board, we went to Nikki and said, can you begin to do this thing and do it regularly? We want to see what happens. And what we've done, without approaching you as far as can you do this thing and can you pour into this, we said, here's the money that's already available to Grace Fellowship Church. Every single week for over a year now, we have been putting $1,000 aside. $1,000 a week, church. So where we sit today, as we're talking about this project, we have almost $79,000 set aside, not a part of our regular budget, as a seed of what we're going to be able to do going into this project. Amen? Come on, church. It's okay. Some of you are like, okay, here's where he's going to start saying what we got. Now we're getting down to it. And let me tell you this. We are not handing out pledge cards. We're not asking your family to sit down and say, all right, we're going to commit to this amount of money over the next 3 years. We don't do that here. We know that if this is something that the Lord is in, there's something that's going to be deposited within you, and you're going to want to be a part of it. And we don't have to convince you of anything other than we are walking and doing what the Lord wants us to do. So what you have been faithfully doing is you've been sowing into this ministry. You've been giving on a regular basis. And the leadership at Grace Fellowship, the bookkeepers, the ones that are looking over the blessings that are coming in, we've been able to support missionaries at a high rate for the last, 8 to 9 years. We got really serious about supporting our missionaries. And many of our missionaries are supported at a $500 level a month. And when it comes to, if you've ever talked to a missionary before, a single ministry doing something like that is rare. And that's not, again, That's where those men, I'm telling you where the Lord has placed us and what he's given us the grace to do. And so we have a number of people that serve around the world that we're able to bless them and give them far beyond what they would expect anyone be able to do. We've been able to bring on new staff. We have our youth leaders. They're on it part-time. We have junior high leaders that are on it part-time. We have Pastor Jeff that is serving here as a part of the ministry. We brought him, we shook off the dust. No, I'm just kidding. And we we brought him back. No, he was looking at a season in his life and he said, I know where I want to be. I want to be back at Grace Fellowship Church because God is doing things there. I hope that's okay that I said that, because that's exactly what he was saying. He said, I want to be where God is doing some things. And I said, man, we want you here. Amen? Amen. So I say all of that to let you know that on top of all of those things, God has given us the grace to be able to set aside $1,000 a week for over a year. We have never missed payroll. We have never missed our electric bill. We've never missed our gas bill. We've never had our water turned off intentionally. We've had to, well, I should say, we have intentionally turned it off a couple times because it's been springing up underneath this building. But other than that, we have seen the Lord bless the things that are going on here. And so here's where we are. We're going to be changing the face of our momentum envelope. Next week, our momentum envelope is going to have the artwork similar to what's on the front of your bulletins. And we are going to just begin a concerted effort together. We are committed, and we're still going to be setting aside $1,000 every single week. Now, that's not a matching thing. I'm not saying, now, can you help us match that? Because I don't want to set limits to what the Lord might do in your heart. Maybe the Lord will give you grace to do something for a number of weeks or a number of months, and you can decide that. You can come to that conclusion. It can be any. I'm not even saying, you know, have it end in a 24. You know, I'm not any, none of that stuff. Have it be exactly what the Lord has laid on your heart to do. That's what we want. We want you to know that this is a project that is going to be completely around the grace of God to move into. There is not a single board member that said, hey, we're ready, let's take this thing on, let's go into debt in Jesus' name. No, nobody was saying that. We're a debt-free church. We know that in the economy that we're in, there's some things that we might need to do, but everything will be with purpose and intention and a short distance so that we can complete this project and have an absolute path to making sure that we remain a debt-free ministry. So some of you might say, well, how come things are taking so long? We're going to do what we can when we can. We're going to open up some doors. We are going to have some conversation with our finances and where we are. And there might be some things that we need to do to kind of keep the project moving. But at no time are we just going to settle down and say, let's just write the rest of this thing off and get it done. We want to move according to what God has called us to do. So next week, we'll officially beginning the Raising the Roof project. The goal is to be able to continue to minister in exactly the way that God has called this church to minister year after year. I believe that we are in a season where God is giving us grace to do the things that we're doing. We're not physically raising the roof of this building. We're not putting on a second floor, just in case you're wondering. Then the facility that we're building is going to be a single level facility. But what we are doing is we are taking this idea of not only raising the roof of a new building, but similar to what Pastor Jeff was just sharing with us, we believe that Grace Fellowship Church is set into this community to build people spiritually. That's what we want to do. I can tell you this with a great sense of confidence, that if we wanted to, we could go to a financial institution tomorrow and borrow the exact amount of money that we need. We have the equity in this place. We have the giving resources to show, and we could borrow that money. That is not our desire. We want to be able to say that we're moving forward with a clear path of, if it's not at the completion, within the near-sightedness of the completion of that project, that we would continue to be debt-free. The facility that you're in right now, this sanctuary and that lobby, we did not have the cash on hand to do the project that we did. We stepped into it in faith. And we were able to do something that nobody on Route 8 across from Walmart was able to do for the better part of 7 to 8 years of when Walmart was there. Instantly, what happened is when it was just similar, our family played Monopoly over the holiday. Ooh. So we're playing Monopoly, right? So what happened was, is in a sense, we went from being kind of on the edge of town with not much going on, a farmer's field was across the highway, to all of a sudden, Boardwalk and Park Place went in across the street. All the property values went through the roof. And people for sale signs, all along, if you lived here at that time, you saw it. Nobody was able to move property. Nobody was able to sell property around here. We put a for sale sign in front of two properties that we had, and they sold perfectly in time to pay cash for the renovations of these two projects. Perfectly in time, we paid cash for them. When we were done with the project was paid for, just like that. I believe that we live in God's economy. And our desire, I know I've said this, it's probably the fifth time I've said it, our desire is not to enter into debt. But if for some reason we believe that there's a foreseeable path to taking on some financial commitments, we would only do that when we can see a small path, a short distance of getting out from underneath that, because we know that this is not the best time in human history to be in debt. And the last thing a church needs to do is to be in debt to the people around them. Our hope and our prayer is that over the next number of weeks, each one of you will be able to see the importance of what we're doing. I think you already can. If you're here at all during the week, you know that everything that I said about this facility is true. It's at capacity, and we're excited about that. The sanctuary that we're not building a 1,200, 2,500 seat crystal cathedral. We want to build a facility that can simply house what God has called us to do. Amen? So as I close this time out for you, I know that for some of you are like, wow, that's a big thing to chew on. I want you to know this. Our desire as a leadership is that you would be as much a part of this project as God has given you the grace to be a part of. There's no pressure. You would know that even from the way that we receive our tithes and offerings. Sometimes when I'm talking to people who have visited the church, they say, how in the world do you have any money at all? You never passed a plate. We don't pass a plate. We say, God has blessed you. The word says this. Go and do what you feel God has called you to do. And we have seen people be obedient to what God has laid on their heart. It's a wonderful thing when you just turn it over to God. It's God's place anyway, isn't it? It's God's house. It's God's church. We're God's people. And so our desire now is to just move freely into what he's called us to do. When I put this message together, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get this done before 1 o'clock. Good news. I'm halfway through. No, I'm just kidding. Can you please stand with me? I want you, as we close this time out, your students are going to be coming back from their classes in just a few moments. We had a handful of families that are sitting in our lobby listening to this message. Sometimes people sit in our lobby just because that's where they want to be. And sometimes they're sitting in our lobby because there's no room in the inn. But I want you to know something, that our heart's desire is to only do what God has called us to do. That's our desire. From the elders to the board, we want to be able to continue to minister to the people that are coming. And we want to be good stewards with what God has blessed us with. Our books are open to anyone who calls Grace Fellowship Church their home. If you want to see how we're handling the giving that you have given, all it takes is a couple of clicks of a button, and we have an open book policy here. We won't give it to you so you can pass it around the neighborhood. But at the same time, if you have any question at all about what's going on here financially, we are open. We'll sit down, we'll talk with you about what's taking place. That's the same with this project. I'm going to ask if we can stop. We're about to pray. I'm going to ask if we can stop streaming at this point. We love everybody who's been watching. I know a number of people weren't able to make it.